Welcome to Health Connections, a look at people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Today, Medicaid Close Up. The program introduced more than half a century ago provides some benefits to 1 in 5 Americans, mainly low-income people. But the program is also a popular target for politicians who consider it a handout. Recently, states including Tennessee have introduced or reintroduced work requirements. So we thought this would be a good time to take a look at what Medicaid is and does. I'm joined, as always, by Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
As you were researching this subject, you found that one of the real fault lines about how people feel about Medicaid is philosophical. It's whether you consider it a welfare program or an entitlement program. To some, that might sound like semantics, but there is a real difference there.
Yes, let's try to tease apart those differences because they help us understand the debate about Medicaid work requirements, which we'll be talking about today. The Medicaid program that we have today, as you said, about 50 years later, is very different than the Medicaid program that was implemented in the 1960s along with Medicare. Medicare is seen as a classic entitlement program. If you're over a certain age and meet certain eligibility requirements, it's a benefit that you are entitled to.
And Social Security is also considered an entitlement program, for another example.
Exactly, another classic example. Things about Medicaid were murky in the beginning because really it was more of a welfare program. So what is the difference of a welfare program? A welfare program is often looked at as a temporary financial assistance program. So it's actually more circumstantial. It's looked to be something to transition you to being self-sufficient. However, my premise is that over the 50 years of Medicaid's history, the program has changed dramatically. It's grown a lot. And just by virtue of the inclusion of Medicaid expansion in the Affordable Care Act, we changed our thinking for it being more like an entitlement program, a way to manifest the value of some Americans that health care should be provided to all Americans. That's one of the switches that has occurred. But if we look at public opinion about Medicaid, those fault lines are still there. And I can share some. The latest Kaiser poll shows 74% of Americans view Medicaid favorably. That's a very significant number. 52% believe the program's working well. I think that's a pretty good number for a government-provided program. But when we look at proposed changes to Medicaid, particularly work requirements, we'll see the divide across the political spectrum. 84% of Democrats oppose lifetime limits, which is one of the things that are being talked about relative to Medicaid. 64% of the independents. But when we look at Republicans, 51% says it should only be available for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. So very different views of what Medicaid is and should be. When we look specifically at work requirements, when people are asked, what's the purpose of this? What's driving that change? The Democrats say it's to reduce spending at a rate of 42%, independents 45%, and Republicans are actually in agreement at 40%. The big divide is, are Medicaid work requirements a means to lift people out of poverty? 20% of the Democrats say yes, and 42% of the Republicans. So we have that split there as to whether Medicaid work requirements are going to produce this end goal of impacting poverty. And a lot of the Democrats and independents don't see it that way. So we still need to have this national conversation about, well, where healthcare fits in our national priorities and the role of government in the provision of healthcare.
Well, let's take a look at some of the numbers. I mentioned in my introduction that Medicaid provides some benefit to 1 in 5 Americans, an interesting number, and 12% of all adults, 40% of those that would be considered indigent or poor. Let's walk through some of the other numbers there to just explore who is covered under Medicaid currently.
Great. I think it's great to paint that picture of what Medicaid does. And we're seeing more adults now covered under Medicaid because of the Medicaid expansion, which was part of the Affordable Care Act. So 40% of poor adults, and that number has gone up because of the states that have expanded Medicaid. 30% of all adults with disabilities have Medicaid coverage. I think you really get a sense of Medicaid when you look at children. 39% of all American children are covered by Medicaid, but 76% of poor children. Now, work requirements, which was the introduction to our topic today, of course, don't affect children other than it affects their parents.
Right.
And we know there's a ripple effect there. 60% of children with disabilities are covered by Medicaid. But here's the thing that we always have to remember is a large portion of Medicaid spending goes for adults with disabilities and or in nursing homes. And I think people forget that very significant part of what Medicaid provides coverage. And obviously, adults in nursing homes or adults with disabilities, work requirements do not apply to them.
And to the children as well. This is one topic that's been raised by critics of work requirements, people who say, well, it may not save as much money as you think. It may not move the needle as much as supporters may say, because many of the people who are already Medicaid eligible or on Medicaid are working and many of the rest can't.
Yes, you're right. And let's tease that apart a little bit. Programs that require work as a condition of eligibility, those programs are hard to administer. They're costly administratively, and the yield hasn't always been great. We're fortunate in that we have the experience with TANF, the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, which is a financial assistance, and work is a condition of eligibility for that program. What are some of the lessons learned? Is that TANF employees work regardless of whether they're required to or not. And we expect to see something similar in Medicaid because so many, even of the expansion adults, are already working. So work requirements have little impact on increasing employment over the long term. So if you think of this tremendous administrative burden, the small number of people that are even eligible to work, and the fact that many of them already are. We also know that the TANF recipients, if Medicaid recipients are like them, will find that they're working in low-wage jobs and they're poor despite being employed. So the issue of not having health care because it's not affordable, or the other problem is people are working in jobs where health care is not provided, or if it is, it's unaffordable without subsidies. So we get into the circular argument that just by virtue of working does not mean that you will have health care coverage.
Right.
Another thing we know about work and health care coverage is that sometimes that health care coverage is an enabler for work, that because I'm able to afford the medications to control my chronic disease, hypertension, diabetes, I'm more able to work, or because I'm able to address functional limitations may be related to back pain or some other problem. So there's this relationship between healthcare coverage and work. And if we require people to go to work and they don't have healthcare coverage, their ability to work will be impaired in some instances. So that's something we need to look at. When we look at programs that are often offered, TANF is an example, where work requirements are imposed and assistance is given to recipients to find work, actually that has very, very little impact. When we look at Medicaid work requirements and the money that has been allocated to help people find work, which isn't always effective, is about a third of what's allocated in TANF. So even if that worked, we don't have enough money to make that work in Medicaid.
The interesting thing about work requirements for Medicaid is I think technically they're illegal, at least under the way Medicaid law is written, but you can get a special dispensation, a waiver, and many states have opted to do that or are working on something like that. What is the status of Medicaid work requirements across the country?
You're absolutely right. The original Medicaid did not allow the imposition of work requirements. And we do have waiver programs for states to come in with an alternative to traditional Medicaid. During the Obama administration, work requirements were seen as not being consistent with the goal of Medicaid. However, after the failure of repeal and replacement efforts in the summer and fall of 2017, the Trump administration said, we will encourage state waivers four work requirements. The first state was Kentucky, was granted a waiver to impose work requirements. That was followed by Indiana, and we have about eight other states in the pipeline that have waivers under review or under development. Here in Tennessee, we have a bill in the Tennessee General Assembly that will allow the state to move forward with a waiver application for work requirements. So this is definitely a movement that is gaining momentum. I suspect that there will be court challenges as to whether, going back to that original premise, is this consistent with the objectives of the Medicaid program as originally intended.
And to stay on Tennessee for a moment here, there's something called a fiscal note, which is the legislature's own estimate of how much that program or that change might cost the state. And right now, the estimate is about $19 million. That's a cost, not a savings, for implementing these work requirements.
Right. And I think that reflects what we've already talked about, Brandon, that these programs are pretty burdensome administratively. And the fiscal note reflects that. So what the fiscal note does not do is project savings and deduct that from the note. So in our legislature, as I suspect is true across the country, a large fiscal note will cause a pause. Whether that will derail this is yet to be seen, because again, we get back to the philosophy of what the motivation is in our state for doing work requirements. And I think it's the idea that Medicaid should be temporary and that able-bodied people should work. That really brings an important point up as to why now? You know, why was the Trump administration eager to move forward besides the failure of repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act? And that's because the expansion populations are mostly adults that are more likely to be working. The expansion adults, which are a much smaller number, though, were folks that they were concerned that would do the Medicaid expansion and forego working. Now, it's interesting that Tennessee is a non-expansion state.
That's right.
And as other non-expansion states have jumped on the bandwagon of work requirements, and that's because of this difference in thinking about what the Medicaid program should be. Is it the provision of health care because that's what we think our state should do? Or is it a temporary assistance to move people towards self-sufficiency, which would be more aligned with work requirements?
So much to chew on, lots to think about. We'll keep an eye on it, obviously, as it continues to move through the Tennessee legislature and other parts of the country as well. Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. You've been listening to Health Connections.